I was thinking as we were just worshiping together, you know, just as Rob has already said, just you feel the presence of the Spirit in this place, and you know the Spirit that's within us. You can just feel the Spirit that's within us resonating with God the Father here this morning, and just the joy that comes along with that. It was felt and it was seen in this place this morning, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is still here, that God the Father is still here in this place, and that He now wants to teach us and impart and share with us His desires for our lives. So. This morning, I just want to share a little bit about the intimacy of God and His desires, His desire to be intimate with us, His children. I believe that that's especially important as you know, in these end days times, you know, just to be into a deeper relationship with God, a relationship that. We can't even compare any of our earthly relationships to the depth of the relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father, and He's drawing us closer and deeper into this relationship with Him. He wants access to every part of us. He wants to move in us and work through us. He wants to give us a good and abundant life. And He wants to do miraculous things for us and through us. And you know, I've heard different speakings and people share, you know, on why God created us, why God wants access to us, why He wants this relationship with us. And you know, I believe that it's not because He needs us; it's simply because He loves us. Right? He doesn't need a relationship with us. He's complete in and of Himself. He's complete with the triune being that is God is complete. Jesus, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. There's a completeness there. He doesn't need us for that completion. But He wants us to be a part of that because He loves us. It's not because He's lonely. It's because He wants to give Himself to us. It's because He is so magnificent, so good, that He says, there's more than enough of me to go around. I can give you part of that, part of myself. And He wants to do that. And it's because He's a good, good God, and He wants only what is best for us. So those are the reasons that He wants this deep intimacy with us, and that He's challenging us to come into that place with Him. And this goes all the way back to the beginning. It goes all the way back to creation. He designed us as humans, as mankind, for this deep intimacy with Him. So a couple scriptures just to point out. The first one's going to be Genesis 1 verse 26, and it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth." See, God designed us to resemble Him. We're made in His image. There's an intimate connection even in that design. You see that? He didn't do that with the fish. He didn't do that with the birds. He didn't do that with the cattle. He didn't do that with the plants. It's us. It's us that resemble God. It's us that are made in His image. And then what He did is He entrusted us, similar to the way that only a father can entrust their son with the things that are important to him. He trusted us, humans, to oversee all of His creation. We were responsible for naming them. This is what took place in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then we move on to Genesis 2, in verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I don't know if you guys are, I'm not usually a very visual person, but for some reason this image of God at creation forming man out of the dust of the earth and having a being there before him, and all of a sudden the breath of life enters him, right? That's intimate. That is a time of depth, deep connection between God and his creation. Again, he didn't do that with any other of his creation. Then in Genesis 2, again, in verse 23, we see, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." God created woman by using a rib from the man who was made in the image of God. God chose to use a rib bone, center mass, not a toe, not an arm. Again, an intimate, deep part of mankind was used, taken out of man, and used to make woman. Symbolically, through Adam, an intimate and core part of God was being used in the creation of woman as well. And then again, we see it in verse 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Every part of Adam and Eve was exposed. Every part. They were not ashamed. It wasn't just the physical aspects. All their thoughts, all their ideas, all their emotions, all their feelings, completely exposed and able to be accessed by God at any point in time. As humans, we tend to kind of hold things back. But the design at creation was to have everything, to give God access to everything in our lives. Again, in Genesis 3, verse 8, we see, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Adam and Eve recognized when God would show up. When God would come to speak to them, when God would come to walk with them, there was an instant recognition that he was with them. Instantaneous. You can only get that by knowing and understanding each other. God's voice was familiar and regular to them. They recognized it easily. And this indicates that it wasn't just every once in a while, once a month, once a week occurrence for Adam and Eve. This was a regular, probably daily thing where they would meet with God in the garden and they would fellowship with God. So these scriptures show that God does intend and desires to have a very consistent and intimate relationship with his children. And that's us. That's us. But here's what happened. Sin entered the world, right? A separation happened when Adam and Eve sinned. A separation happened, and the intimacy that they once enjoyed, they could no longer be a part of. It's no longer possible. And it's not because God didn't want it anymore. It's not because God was punishing them in that way. It's simply because God cannot be a part of. He cannot be in those situations. His righteousness and his character prohibit him from being in the presence of sin. And so he couldn't be in that. That intimacy could not be shared any longer. And so all the way from the fall of man until the resurrection of Christ, sin kept mankind from having the deep relationship with God that we were designed and created for. But God had a plan, and he enacted that plan. He sent his perfect son, Jesus, to overcome that sin through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that not only gives us access to eternal salvation, but that opens the door, it restores the possibility for that intimacy with God. Praise the Lord. We read about this in a couple different places. I'm going to start with Galatians 4, and then it's echoed again in Romans 8. But Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 says, "When the fullness of the time had come, when the time was right," in other words, when the time was right, "God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under that law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Again, it's echoed in Romans 8, 14 through 17. Very similar. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Church, listen, we are no longer orphans. We're no longer orphans. We've been adopted by God. We've been adopted into his family, and thank God for that. We no longer are destined to a life of slavery. That's what would happen in the time that the scriptures were written. If there was an orphan, if there was a child that didn't have parents, they were more than likely destined for a life of slavery. But God chose to adopt us all. The Holy Spirit that's now inside of us is permanently connected to God the Father and confirms to us that we are children of the Most High. You know, as Christians, it's sometimes easy for us to accept our salvation. It's easier for us to say, "Yes, God, come into my life. I want to spend eternity with you. I want to end up in heaven. I want to have all the good things that come along with that. I want your joy. I want your peace." You know, all of these things, and those are easy things for us to receive, right? It's easy for us to ask for those things. It's easy for us to desire those things. But when it comes to walking with God in an intimate way, we kind of step back a little bit. We're like, "Whoa, hold on, God. I don't give me that part. Like, I don't want to give you that part. Like, everything but that." We kind of we hold back. We aren't as comfortable. We're resistant to the calling that he calls on our life, that he wants to be a part of every aspect, that he wants to be involved, that he wants to know us. All of those things we're resistant to. And a couple different reasons for that. Sometimes I think it's pride. I'm just like, "No, I'm going to do it on my own. I got this. I'm going to internalize everything." Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes we're just afraid of God's discipline. We know that we don't always make the right decisions. We know that we're human and we fail, and we're afraid. We view God as a disciplinarian, and we're afraid of what that looks like. We're afraid that the our sins are going to catch up to us, and he's going to discipline us, and we're not going to be able to do the things that we've been doing. Sometimes we just aren't willing to be corrected. We're not willing to say, okay, God, the position that I'm at in my life right now, the things that I'm doing in my life right now, I know that you don't accept, and he wants us to change them. And we're like, no, I'm good. I got salvation, I'm going to heaven. We're good with that. So I'm gonna hold back from giving myself to you because I don't want the correction that comes along with that. Sometimes, for some of us, it's because the relationships that we've experienced on earth, parents, siblings, friends, family members, whatever it is, the relationships that we've experienced, they might not have always been positive. And so we resist and we hold back because we don't want to be hurt again, right? We put up that guard. We say, nope, God, not here. I'm going to guard myself. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to resist you. I'm going to resist that intimacy with you because I'm afraid of getting hurt. And what we're doing is we're actually hurting ourselves. That's it. It's kind of like, we as humans, we can kind of be like those children. They were orphans. They were in the foster care system. They didn't have anybody that loved them. And finally, a loving couple comes and adopts them. And they love on them, and they give them everything that they can, and they're good to them. But because of past situations, because of past circumstances, that adopted child just holds back, runs away, says, I'm gonna isolate myself. I'm gonna stay up here in my room. I don't want any part of you. Just feed me my dinner and that's it. Instead of accepting their place in the new family by embracing and receiving the love of the parents, they isolate themselves and run away. And that's what we can do with God. Our adoption into the family of God is complete. It's a done deal. As Christians today, as believers in Christ, our adoption is sealed. But it's us that often run away. And so this morning, I just want to take some time for us all to evaluate and say, you know, what's our status? Where are we at with God? And a few categories that I've kind of come up with that I think we can see mirrored in Scripture of how we as humans can relate to God the Father or Jesus Christ. And these examples, specifically the first two, are very evident with the people that were present during the time that Jesus walked on this earth and how they interacted with him. So the first thing, we can be a Jesus follower, more of an acquaintance type thing, right? And, you know, in Scripture, sometimes that term is used in a very positive way. And, you know, it's not, being a follower of God is not necessarily a bad thing. But I would say to you this morning that it's a good start. Okay? So, Jesus had many followers during the time of his ministry on earth. People would follow him all over. They would come from everywhere to experience him, to see what they were hearing about, to get a firsthand account of the things that they were hearing stories about, that Jesus' healings and the miraculous signs and wonders that were following God. So he had this Jesus had this following on earth, and everywhere he would go, it was actually taxing for him to be in this position where he just couldn't get away, right? And so where were these followers at? They had heard about Jesus. They had come to see and hear for themselves, but they didn't seek a relationship with him. They were in a position where it was, well, what can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? Do I need a healing today? Let's go see God. Do I need some peace today? Let's go see God. Do I need joy today? Let's go see God. What do I need? And I want to just experience him in that way. Again, a good first step. They seek only the power and compassion of God for personal gain. And because of this, this group of people can be easily swayed back and forth. They can follow God one day, follow Jesus one day, and the next day, they can be screaming, "Crucify him," before he's hung on a tree. And it was the same crowd. That's the reality of it. The same people that were following Jesus, the same people that were healed by Jesus, were the ones that were in that crowd screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." This group of people, they also have a very superficial relationship based on personal needs. So then the second group of people, and these are the friends of God. These are the ones that are a little bit closer than the followers. And it was more like the 12 disciples, the group of close friends that Jesus had here on earth, were his 12 disciples, the ones that spent the most time with him, the one that received the most teaching, saw the most miracles, experienced the most things, experienced the love that Jesus had for people. They have the most knowledge of who Jesus was. Jesus shared on countless occasions things that were to take place and things that Scripture had foretold about where they were at in history, through the prophecies and different things. So they've experienced him and they have knowledge of him, but they have very little revelation and understanding of who he is. Right? And that was the disciples. Even up to the point of Jesus' death, they really didn't get what was happening. Jesus had told them, Jesus had shared with them, but they didn't really get it. They had no supernatural understanding of what was taking place because there was no intimacy with God. And then the last group of people is the family of God. Again, remembering that as Christians, we've been adopted into this family of God. And this would be you could kind of look at the life of Paul or Peter or John, any of the apostles after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You could also look at the relationship that Jesus had while he was on earth with God the Father. And that sonship that we see evidenced through his walk here on earth. The intimacy, and I'm going to share a scripture a little bit later here that really demonstrates that. But just the intimacy that Jesus had with God the Father, the way that he obeyed him, the way that he walked with him, the way that he spoke to him, the way that he received from him, all of those things bear witness to the intimate relationship that God had with his son, Jesus Christ. So as the family of God, what we see in Scripture is that these men accepted their role as children of God and devoted themselves wholeheartedly to the family of God. They were willing to sacrifice, they were willing to endure, they were willing to do whatever it took to advance the kingdom of God. They had the same will as God. They had deep revelation and understanding of God's will, of that will. They had access to the secrets of the inner court. You know, when Jesus was resurrected, that veil was torn, and we no longer have to, you know, seek the presence of God in an inner part of a temple. We are the temple, right? We've received the Holy Spirit, and we are able to communicate with Him through that Spirit. These men were emboldened. They were no longer timid. They were no longer scared. They were no longer unwilling to do what was asked of them. They would find satisfaction and companionship in God. They no longer cared about the approval of man. They no longer cared about the friendships and the people that they were surrounded with, other than to bring them to Christ. It was about the relationship that God provided every aspect of companionship that they needed. It was about the relationship with God. And they would seek and receive wise counsel and direction. They became obedient to God's laws and direction. Why? Because they viewed God not as a taskmaster, but now as their Father. It was easier to obey when they realized that God had only the best plans and purposes for their life. It was easy to obey when they realized that God only wanted what was best for them, for His creation. And again, in our own lives, that's what happens when we realize that God is a good Father. That when we realize that He's, the things that He's asking of us are not to hinder us, but they're to love on us, and they're to further us, and they're only for our good, then it's easy to obey. The temptations that are of this world fall away. And then we see that these men, they would act as heirs and not hirelings. God's interests became their interests. And they were one and the same. They moved together, they flowed together, there was purpose and direction in what they did, and that everything was because of what God wanted to achieve. And they were willing to do whatever it took to make that happen. And then we see that they would bear healthy and abundant fruit in their own lives. We would see the fruits of the Spirit come out and be very evident in their teaching, be very evident in their lifestyles, be very evident in the way that they walked and lived on this earth. They had the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. All of these things were abundantly evident in their life. So today, as we're all here together, I just, I think it's time to define the relationship. As men, kind of, we hear that and we're like, whoa, stop. Maybe you've been in a relationship where the other person's been like, all right, where's this headed? That's a conversation that we're having today. But it's dealing with God and us. It's the relationship between God and us. And so I just ask, let's all take a moment here and figure out where we're at. Let's analyze that relationship. Where's it headed? What's the purpose behind it? What are we looking for to get out of our relationship with God? Are we looking for superficial? Do we want to be just a follower of God? Are we okay with just being a friend of God? Or do we want to go all in and truly become a member of the family of God? And as believers, I think this should be our goal. I mean, this has to be our goal. This is what we are should be searching for. This is what we should be longing for. This should be our heart's desire. This deeper intimacy, this deeper relationship with God, day after day after day after day. This is what we need to be searching for. And so, you know, in our own lives, again, we have to analyze, what are the things that are holding me back? What's preventing me from going all in? What's preventing me from having this type of relationship? So this morning, I'm getting ready to close here, but I just wanted to say, our altar is always open. If you are here this morning and you're in a place where you are seeking deeper relationship, the altar here at Grace Fellowship is always open. And so just go ahead and come forward. There's elders here, pastors here that would love to pray with you, help you in any way that we can. And so I just, if you feel the need to come forward and just pray and seek God in this place this morning, the altar's here. I just want to say that. And so, I told you that I was gonna share a scripture that demonstrates the intimacy that God the Father and Jesus Christ shared while Jesus was walking on this earth. And if Jesus, all man, can have this intimacy, I believe that so can we. Sometimes it seems like it's intangible to us. Sometimes it seems like it's so distant that it's unobtainable. But it's not. John 17, verses 20 through 26, says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. When he says, "I do not ask for these only," he's talking about his disciples. This was a prayer that Jesus was praying directly to God right before he was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. And right before this prayer, Jesus was specifically praying for his disciples. And so when it says, "I do not ask for these only," he's talking about his disciples. And then he says, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." All right, well, I'm gonna pray in closing. Just powerful scripture there that speaks of the intimacy that we are to have with God the Father. And I just challenge each and every one of you this morning to let that be your heart's desire. Every day, as you just seek God further and further, just desire to grow deeper in relationship with him. And so let me pray for you guys. I don't know if the kids are back there or not. If they are, they can come in. Father God, we just come to you right now, and we desire so much to be in closer relationship with you, Lord. We know that you are constant, that you are stable, that you are always there waiting and willing to take us with open arms, Lord, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how long we've been avoiding you, Lord. We know that you're right there willing to take us back, Lord, and to build this deeper and more intimate relationship with you, God. We just praise you and honor you for that, Lord. And I just pray for this congregation here that we would just be emboldened and have a deeper desire to be close to you. Lord, we just love you. We pray for this week. I seal this time. I just pray that for safety and wisdom and guidance and direction for all of these people here as we go throughout our week, Lord. And we just love you and praise you for all that you do in our lives. In your name, amen.